Welcome to the Faith to Go podcast, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Faith to Go podcast, your one-stop shop for everything you need to have faith discussions throughout your week with your friends and with your family. My name is David Tremaine, and I'm a congregational consultant with Troubling the Waters.
And I'm Charlotte Pressler, and I'm the Director of Formation for the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego.
Welcome back, everyone, for this gospel discussion for the week leading up to Sunday, May 5th, the sixth Sunday in Easter. I believe one more Sunday left, two more before Pentecost?
One more after one more? This one, because This is six, and we get a seven, and then Pentecost.
There you go. Makes sense, 49 and then 50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 7 times 7. All right, well, now that we've done the math portion of the podcast, we welcome you all in, and we are excited to talk about this upcoming week's gospel. But before that, before we continue to dabble in John's gospel, we got to hear God's sighting, because otherwise we'd be totally bereft of God's presence in the world.
If we don't talk about God's presence, did it even happen?
Charlotte, you have been selected and appointed.
Yes.
To give a God sighting today. You didn't choose it.
Yes.
We chose you.
Perfect.
Please, would you share where you saw or felt God's presence in the last week or so?
Yes. So for me, it was yesterday. Podcast listeners, it would be a week before that. Yesterday, I was at All Saints Episcopal Church in Hillcrest. Mm-hmm. Lovely congregation. I had a wonderful visit with them, talked with their vestry afterwards about formation, and I had a great time. Mm-hmm. Not my God sighting, but What was delightful for me, what felt actually, it harkens back to Hannah's from last week also. So as I came into the church, and I did know that this person might possibly be there, but as I came into the church and I came down the center aisle, I saw seated about four rows from the front, the Reverend Walter Adelman. Mm-hmm. And I recognized him from the back. Mm-hmm. And I realized during the course of the service that I actually think that Father Adelman is the person that I have known longest in my life.
Oh, wow.
Because I apparently met him when I was 10 months old. I don't have a recollection of that official first meeting. But my sister is younger than me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so with my parents being deceased, mm-hmm. therefore, this may very well be the person that has known me longest in my life.
Crazy.
And so I walked down the aisle and I squatted down next to him and he turned his head to see who was there. And I said, "May I sit with you?" Mm-hmm. And it took a moment, and then his eyes like brightened and he recognized me because he didn't know I was coming.
Yeah.
And so I was able to sit with him and worship with him mm-hmm. in a pew. Mm-hmm. And it felt like God's love to sit with someone who has known me that long and loved me that long. Mm-hmm. Naming that we have lots of relationships in our life where we are seen and loved in our fullness, mm-hmm. but to be grounded in that kind of experience of someone who has known every version of Charlotte, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Has known me through my tumultuous teenage years, has sat with me as my mother died, who flew cross country to marry Tim and I, and when I got scared the night before to walk down the aisle by myself, said that he would walk me down the aisle, and then did, mm-hmm. right? Like every season of my life, this person has walked through with me, and just the fullness of being loved that way felt like God's presence to me.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have to start talking about the gospel now because I feel like that really connects.
It does.
I think we should go to the gospel now.
Well, I think we also need to tell people that if they have a place where they have seen or felt God's presence, that we want to hear about it.
We do.
And there's lots of ways that they can contact us.
Yeah.
They can message us on Instagram. They can send us an email, faith2go@edsd.org. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if there was a place where they have felt God's presence, a consolation or a desolation, we would love to hear about it.
Absolutely. Any of your questions or comments or stories from your week of faith discussion and reflection, we'd also love to hear. So make sure you check us out on Instagram, message us, tag us, comment on a post.
Yes.
Also.
And we actually have one of those that we want to give a shout out to.
Oh.
So Allison Morrissey has been commenting on our stories and sending little notes of encouragement.
So nice.
I know Allison and her husband, and I know that they actually listen to the podcast as preparation for Sunday school.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, because they both teach Sunday school. And there so they often, as they are reflecting on the week ahead, will listen to the podcast.
Awesome.
So thanks for listening.
Shout out to Allison. Thank you all for listening, and we're going to move to our gospel discussion for this upcoming week. So this is going to be for Sunday, May 5th, the sixth Sunday in Easter in year B. The gospel reading is John 15, 9 through 17. Charlotte's going to read it, and I'll have a little bit of context. We'll each have a point. So take it away, Charlotte.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
Whatever you ask, you say? Interesting. So many possibilities. It's like a genie.
Yes, that's exactly what it means.
With infinite wishes. Mm-hmm. That's our official theology of the Episcopal Church of Prayer.
No.
Just kidding. That's a lie. We are in John chapter 15, which is where we were last week with the vine in the vineyard. I am the vine and you are the branches. That's John 15, verse 1. And then this is the thing right after that. So we are still in Jesus' farewell discourse to his friends. It's interesting because in terms of the narrative, we have Jesus' death and resurrection, we have Easter, and then we go backwards kind of in time in the gospel to hear from John in like the preamble to Jesus' arrest. But because Jesus is moving, this is all just like dialogue with them. It works for this season because it's all about like what they should expect going forward. So like Jesus is talking about post-resurrection life, and that's where we are, you know, in terms of the narrative of the season. So this is Jesus talking about what he expects from the disciples when he's gone. And while it is happening before he's died, he takes all this time before his arrest to get them ready for when he's not with them and what he expects of them and what he wants them to be like with one another. And that's what he wants us to be like with one another as well. You know, so we carry on this legacy. These are our instructions as well as the disciples. There's a couple more chapters of farewell discourse after this. I think it's in John 18 that Jesus is arrested. So we got, you know, two more chapters or so. Jesus talking to the disciples. So this is kind of like smack in the middle of the farewell discourse. And Charlotte, you have the first point.
Do we want to tell them about our points
today?
Take
it away. Well, we don't know what each other's points are.
I know.
Usually we say them before the pod.
Yeah, we have like a little pre-discussion to get ready.
So we don't overlap.
Yes.
But who knows what's going to happen?
I know. Anything could happen today.
It's a mystery.
So my point, which is the first point.
Yes.
Is a surprise point.
To me and to everyone.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Surprise.
Ah!
Maybe that's also a God sighting, is the delight we take in each other, the silly mm-hmm. delight that we take within each other and
For
this
sure.
time that we are here together.
100%.
So bonus God sighting live on the podcast.
Boom. You just got God-sighted, people.
And I have a point.
Okay.
So my point is in the difference between being servants and friends.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that and why it was important. And you alluded to it a little bit within the context that you were giving, is that Jesus was getting everybody ready. Mm-hmm. And so I think he was worried about them. I think that he was worried about what was going to happen after he was gone. Mm-hmm. And if he had just given them instructions as though they were servants or workers or disciples, mm-hmm. that could have fractured them. Mm-hmm. the relationship within them, right, could have fractured as part of that. And especially because oftentimes when we give instructions, especially anyone who has worked with children, the people in the room don't all hear the same thing, right? So you can give what you think are very clear instructions, and Joey and Susie may hear entirely different things. And especially if they are in a working group with each other, it may result in conflict.
Never put Joey and Susie in a work group together. Everyone knows that.
Or David and Charlotte. Either
well,
or.
Yeah, that would be chaos.
I was thinking about both the intention behind it of wanting to make sure that they understood that they were more than servants, that they were more than disciples, that they were his friends, that he had chosen them. You did not choose me. Mm-hmm. I chose you. Mm-hmm. And in naming that, he is telling them that knowing what is to come. Those people that he's talking to are about to betray him and deny him and everything. This is all before that happens, right? Mm-hmm. And as we have discussed before, Jesus knows very well that all of those things are going to happen and that they're all coming. And even though all those things are going to happen, Jesus loves them. Mm-hmm. And what that means to be loved like that. This is not a superficial kind of love. It is a deep and a true love. It is being known in your full entirety. And maybe it's because I had been prepping for this podcast that yesterday struck me the way it did in that authentic relationship that I was able to sit next to and live within. But thinking about the fact that Jesus is looking around this room at these people that he has walked with countless days, countless dirty, dusty days, who he has been persecuted in front of, who he has argued with, calling them out on their nonsense, having them ask him questions that he doesn't really want to answer, that he has modeled what it's like to love the stranger, to love the marginalized, to invite people into closer relationship. And he has done all of these things with these people because they are more than servants. They are more than disciples. He loves them. Mm-hmm. And so he is calling them to that same kind of love in this section that we have here. Just as I abide with the Father, you abide with me and this fullness of love. And when I am not here, by the way, y'all still need to love each other that way. And you need to love the world that way. Mm-hmm. You need to go out from this place modeling the fact that you were more than my servants, that you were my friends. Mm-hmm. Because the trueness of the love, that authenticity that is reflected in their behaviors, is what is going to help other people to experience God, to experience Jesus through them. Because being lectured is not the way that people come into relationship, right? Like if they just sat up there wagging their fingers and telling everybody what was right and what was wrong, that doesn't invite them into deeper relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, that's something that sometimes the church still gets wrong. It is the way that we love each other that invites people to come into closer relationship with Christ and not the way that we judge each other each and every day, right? Yeah. And love can look not like judgment, in my opinion, but love can look like accountability for sure. Like we are allowed to tell the truth to each other. In fact, we are called to tell the truth to each other. That is part of being in love with God and in love with one another, is accepting each other's faults and being willing to say when we see them, not look away. Mm-hmm. And it's scary to be seen in your full authenticity. I imagine that I am not the only person in this room, and certainly not the only person in our podcast community, that sometimes feels as though there are pieces of myself that I can't share with people. Mm-hmm. That there are pieces of myself that I have to keep tucked away because they are unlovable. Mm-hmm. They are unworthy. And knowing that Jesus saw these disciples who had pieces of themselves that perhaps might have been unlovable or felt unworthy to them as well. And he was like, nope, you didn't choose me. I chose you in your full entirety. And I love you in your full entirety. And guess what? When I'm not here anymore, I am still with you. And you need to go out and love everybody that exact same way, because that's what it means.
My point is similar, thinking about that, the knowing that you're talking about, and like, so this word for friends in here, so there's three words in Greek for love. Agape, as so I have loved you, abide in my love. All those love words, all the times it says love in here, that's agape. There's eros, which is where we get the word erotic. It's like this much more passionate kind of love. And then there's philos, like Philadelphia, brotherly love, like the love of a friend. So everywhere it says in here, friends, it's the root word is philos. It's philon. So it's like a noun version of that word. So it's much more than just like the person I spend my time watching basketball with or whatever.
Yes.
It's like my dear ones, you know, my beloved people. It's like, how have these people become beloved to Jesus, like become Jesus's dear ones and not just the people that follow him around? Just like you named, like he says, I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father, right? Mm-hmm. I have called you friends. I have called you beloved because I have made everything known to you. And that's really, like you're saying, that's what it's about. It's about being known. Like the difference between just an acquaintance and a dearly beloved one is being known by someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about this idea that like the greatest love is to lay down one's life for one's beloved, for one's friends, for one's dearest ones. You know, we think about that as Jesus talking about Jesus dying,
mm-hmm.
right? Like this kind of extreme sacrifice love, a self-sacrificial love, which is usually how we think about agape love. And that's the kind of love that we're talking about here, agape in the Greek. And then we think about, because Jesus talked about the shepherd laying down the shepherd's life for the sheep, you know, things like that. But I'm thinking like, that's pretty extreme. Not all of us are going to have the opportunity to die for people that we love necessarily. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, what does it mean to lay down one's life, you know, for the people you love? And I think that there is something about being known, like fully, deeply known, that is a kind of laying down your life, you know, like I'm laying my life out before you because I want you to know me. There is death in that. Like there is real vulnerability in that because it's entirely possible that I lay down my life before you and you reject me. You know, where you say this thing and this thing about you, I don't actually like. And that's really painful. I'd pretty much rather die mm-hmm. than have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus is saying, like, that's actually the only way forward for you all. You won't be able to do the things you want to do if you can't abide in each other in that way. It's like we're opening ourselves up like a sanctuary, like a home to people when we can lay down our life. They can continue to abide in Jesus because he's opened himself up to them. You know, like he can wrap himself around them like a blanket, like that just carries on with them. If he hadn't made himself fully known to them, I don't know if he could continue to be present with them in the same way moving forward when he's not physically there, you know? So there's something about this like opening up to them, this laying down of his life, which is really self-sacrificial. Like when we experience that, we're like feeling like this is our sacrifice. This is our offering at the altar of my friendship to you is myself, my full self. I always think about this, like Jesus abides in the Father and we abide in Jesus. It's like this kind of Russian nesting doll of abiding, of love, you know, of remaining in one another. And that's how I think about that kind of commitment to people that we love is like, when we are really, truly, authentically ourselves with people and they love us for who we are, they live within us,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's like that C.C. Cummings poem, I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. Like that is a real thing in life when we are deeply known and loved and we deeply love other people, regardless of what kind of relationship it is. When we are fully known by people, they live inside of us and we live inside of them in some way. And that's how Jesus can be carried forward with his disciples when he's gone. And then I was thinking about this word, lay down my life. So when Jesus says, I lay down my life, to lay down your life for your friends is the same word as when he says, I chose you and appointed you. So lay down and appoint are the same. It's the word tithemi. And it's like, I set up, I like establish this thing. So I'm also thinking about laying down one's life in that way. It's like, it's to tithemi one's life, to appoint my life for you.
Mm.
is so interesting. It is the same idea, I think, as like, I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, I sacrifice my life for the sheep. But it is about commitment. You know, it's like, I have appointed my whole self for your whole self. I have appointed my life. I have committed myself to you. And I love the idea that, like, to really deeply love someone in this agape kind of love, in this friendship that Jesus is talking about, in like the most, in the deepest way of loving another person, is to commit yourself to them. And to commit yourself to them, you can't be committed to someone unless you're fully known to them. You know, there's something so beautiful in friendships where I know people, I am friends with people who are so deeply committed and devoted to the people they love. There's a way in which Jesus is at the same time calling us to not just be totally self-sacrificial at the expense of ourselves and our wellness. You know, like, there's an extreme where we're only doing things for other people. But like, there is something where we are both committed to ourselves and deeply committed to the people around us. And that's the kind of love that Jesus knows they are going to have for each other. Because that kind of commitment will lead to like the laying down of one's life in like this ultimate sense, if it comes to that. But like, for them to be able to navigate the future, to deal with the stresses of a changing world, trying to make sense of what Jesus wants for them without Jesus physically being there, they have to be deeply committed to each other. They have to be deeply committed to their relationship to each other. They have to be so deeply committed to staying in relationship when the stuff hits the fan. Because it's at that moment that it would be much easier to just fracture and go their separate ways, have their separate sects of the Jesus way. And they seem very committed to community, you know, at least in Acts when we see them immediately after Jesus leaves. So it's like, what does it mean for us to lay down our lives for the people we love? You know, what does it look like for us to be deeply committed to the people we love and to make ourselves known, you know, in that way? That is what it means, I think, to abide in one another.
Part of what I was thinking about was, remember last week we talked about, as much as you like the Greek, I like the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Abide can also mean to tolerate or to withstand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about like how those moments where we abide with each other, they require perseverance and persistence and willingness to be fully open to one another. And mm-hmm. I think that that goes to your point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also thinking about 1 Corinthians is in relationship to love, because it says love bears all things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spelled as in like puts up with or takes on or tolerates. But I also mm-hmm. think that there's something really lovely about thinking about bear spelled the other way, B-A-R-E, mm-hmm. meaning like that mm-hmm. we show the fullness of ourselves in the way that we love each other.
I always thought you were going to say like a really, really happy bear.
Yes, that's
like a
really
kind, like a bear hug.
Totally sounds like something Charlotte would say.
Also, I think I said C.C. Cummings. It's E.E. Cummings.
You did.
Sorry. What can I say?
I mean, maybe there's a CC Cummings somewhere.
Maybe. Yeah. We got to look them up.
But they didn't write that poem.
If you're CC Cummings out there, you tag us on Instagram. Shout out E. Cummings. Those are our points for this week. Prize points. Number one was Charlotte's. Ours were pretty similar, but yours was about like friendship and servants and friendship, you know, and moving from one to the other and being fully known, you know, to move into that different kind of relationship. And then mine kind of built off of that, just thinking about what it means to lay down one's life, to lay yourself down in front of another person, to lay out who you are and the commitment of love that we are called to be disciples, you know, to do the work of God in the world. So having heard those points, we'd love to hear what your point would have been if you'd been on the pod with us this week. We'd like to know any of your comments or questions or stories from your week of faith discussion and reflection. Favorite E.E. or C.C. Cummings poem, if you can find who C.C. Cummings is. We will be back next week to talk about the gospel for Easter 7 in year B. And until then, we say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
No, I only have pink, blue, and
purple.
Purple, so.
Yeah.
I can't.
Don't you have yellow?
I do. I did have. I do. No. No. I had yellow corduroys, but something happened. Maybe they don't fit anymore. Now I have maroon corduroy pants.
Okay.
This has been
See, you do
Closet
have seasonal.
Corner with David. I'm wearing them right now, actually. Maroon.
I mean, people can totally tell that on the pod.
Yeah, you see? Oh, now Greg's taking a picture of me lifting up my leg.